It's Thursday, July 17th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 965, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a managed WordPress site for just $1 a month and a free domain name at GoDaddy.com, or pick up a domain name for $1.99. All my specials can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, I got a great show lined up for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go-fly.
Microphone.
We're go-fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go-fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to welcome you to the show. Got a great show lined up for you tonight. And I am having a little bit of technical difficulties tonight. We can't bring up one of the separate screens tonight for some reason. But that won't let us slow us down. If you're brand new to the show, here's the instructions. You get on your computer, if you're on your tablet, or if you're on your phone, right now, go over to geeknewscentral.com. That's going to get you over to the website so that you can subscribe to the show. When you're on the website, get subscribed via iTunes, or if you're on an Android device, download one of the great podcasting apps. Just search the App Store for one. Downcast is a great one that you can use. Get subscribed to the show so that way you'll never miss a single episode. Get signed up for the newsletter so that you can basically stay abreast of what's going on with the show. But for everyone else, welcome back. We got a great show lined up for you tonight. I'm going to talk about the GNC 1000 program. Got that nailed down on what we're going to do. And I'm kind of excited about announcing those levels. And I hope that you guys will support the show. Added value here, value for value. And we'll get into that in a few minutes. But most importantly, hey, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. Or you can go over to just email me here at the show. At geeknews@gmail.com. That's a great way to stay abreast of what's going on here at Geek News Central is by emailing me. Why would you be staying abreast by emailing me? Email me your comments on the show, and I'll stay abreast of what you're thinking about the show. That was stupid. But anyway, follow on Google Plus or on Facebook. You can find the links to those parts of the websites on the website at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, you can watch the show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, now coming Android TV, Chromecast, you name it. You can watch the show just about anywhere there is glass. And except through maybe your bedroom window or something, but that was dumb. But anyway, welcome to the show, everyone. Hey, got a great show lined up for you and lots to talk about, but none of it would be possible without our good friends over at GoDaddy. We want you to save a lot of money, and they give me codes every month to share with you to save a lot of cash over at GoDaddy.com. So I want you to pay attention here. I want you to pay attention to these codes because when you go pick up that hosting account, that domain name, the Geek here, Geek News Central, is going to save you some money. So 32% off your order by using the promo code GO32OFF1. Or you can save 25% off your order by using the promo code GO25OFF5. Of course, all my codes can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Additional codes we have is the $199.com by using GNC199 on a newer transfer. You can get $1 a month WordPress hosting with a free domain by using the promo code PRESS4. And, of course, $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain by using the promo code GEEKS12. Lots of stuff to lots of ways to save money at GoDaddy by going over to geeknewscentral.com. /GoDaddy. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. 9 years of basically helping us keep the lights on and allowing us to do what we do. We want to thank them. And I'm going to be participating in some new GoDaddy functions. Going to have a meeting with them next week. So looking forward to announce some cool things that we're upcoming with. And but anyway, everyone go out and pick up a GoDaddy product. Again, lots of thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. Okay, so what's going on here? Next week, if everything goes right, we're going to be launching some new shows here at the website. The new template I'm being promised is going to be ready. Angela ran into some family issues this week, which slowed him down from being able to having it in my hands today. So I'm hoping tomorrow mid-afternoon I'll have the new template and be able to get the new sites ready to launch. So I'm going to be really strapped for time. It's going to be a crazy weekend for me here and getting ready to get the new shows online. And so it's just, you know, pure chaos. It's been a long time coming, and really we've been ready on the website. We've just been waiting for the new template. And I told him, I says, if you don't have the new template ready, I'm just going to have to launch these new shows with just some templates. So hopefully we're able to be able to have that up tomorrow and me be able to do some configuration on it and be ready to go. But going to be bringing two shows on board, actually three, but the one will be launching next week, and then two it'd probably take another week or so to get those up and online. So also on the last show, I talked a little bit about the GNC 1000. And if you guys go over to geeknewscentral.com/insider, you'll see that I have announced the new levels and what we're going to do, and how this is going to work is pretty straightforward. What we're going to do is it's going to start off with you know, if you're part of this audience and you've been listening, you're part of the Ohana. That's basic. That's a given level when you come in and be part of the family here. And but what we're going to do is we're going to start off with I think I've got set up five or six levels here. And the way it's going to work is at the warrior level, if you're going to be like a family warrior, it's $60 a year is what the donation level is going to be. If you're going to be, and here in Hawaii, we have this word called kahuna. And sometimes you may hear on some movies, the big kahuna. But the kahuna level is going to be for folks that contribute up to $125 a year. Then we're going to move from kahuna to big kahuna. The big kahuna level is going to be $250 per year. And then we're going to move into a real special class called Ali. And that's going to be $500 plus a year. I don't know if we'll have anyone qualify for that initially, but that's kind of a big goal. And then kind of some fun titles is if you contribute more than $1,000 per year, you're going to be part of what I'm going to call the Royal Council or the Geek Council here. And then because we're keeping with the Hawaiian theme and these honorary titles, we're going to have at the $5,000 for a lifetime contribution, going to be part of the Geek Court here, part of the Tech Court. And so anyway, that's how the levels are going to work. Ohana, Warrior, Kahuna, Big Kahuna, Ali, and then the Geek Council and the Geek Court. So that's kind of how we're going to work the levels. And the donation page has changed just a little bit. And I put some new PayPal amounts in for folks that want to get in at that kahuna level at $125 a year. And this is kind of the level I'm shooting for the majority of folks that are going to be contributing to the show, is that it basically a $10.41 a month donation gets you to $125 after 12 months. And once you start donating at that level, it's going to be kind of the honorary system. We're going to let you go ahead and assume the title that we've assigned you. And any emails you send me, you should you know, stand up and be recognized that you're at that level of a donator to the show. And we'll recognize folks as we see PayPal amounts reach to a certain level. So we've got a couple of people already that are going to qualify for the Big Kahuna based on their current contribution level. So we're going to probably start announcing them on the next show. But this is something where you guys, as you reach these donation levels for supporting the show, that you basically send me an email and say, hey, Todd, I've hit the level, or I'm at this specific donation level, which will qualify me for a year. We're not going to make you wait a whole year to get the title, but we're going to ask that if you do decide to do that, that you do a one-year commitment with this. And you guys know it's added value for value here. I'm going to be producing a lot of content for you like I always do. We're on the march to 1,000 shows, 35 shows away. And my goal is, besides the colossal screw-up of getting started tonight, but is to bring you guys a fantastic tech show here that you guys can stand behind and share with your friends. And we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to laugh and shout and holler together and really talk a lot of tech. And I think that probably in the long run is the most important thing here for all of us to have a good time and make sure that we continue to move the ball forward with the show and allow me to do new things with the website and bring new shows on. And ultimately what we want to do is, even though you'll be contributing to this show, you'll be helping the other shows grow, as well as I'll be able to put more financial resources against the other shows and be able to help pay for bandwidth and even salaries and so forth for the other content creators. So that's kind of where we're at, and we hope that you get on board, and I'll be talking about this more as time goes on. All right, so what else is going on here? That's kind of it. I spent a lot of time in the last show talking about this stuff, and I'm going to just go ahead and move on and get into the full-blown tech tonight so that we don't run long like we did last time. One thing I do want to do, though, before we get too far here into the show, is I'm going to do one more attempt here to get the IVGA working. There's another way to do it, but I normally have to have a little more prep time to be ready. And for some reason, I just don't know why this thing is doing what it's doing right now. It normally doesn't do that. I probably have to reboot the computer to make that work. But it's absolutely bizarre why it's basically flipping me the bird right now for, I don't know what's going on. Bizarre. And normally when it has an issue, it gives me like this little warning window. Those of you that are listening, you guys don't care. Those of you that are watching, I guess we have my ugly mug tonight. Maybe I can give you some new camera views. Hey, I do want to show you one view. See if I can get the right camera queued up. We're having problems with the point tilt zoom camera that was over in this direction. And I grabbed one of my Sony cameras and basically put that up as just a little handy cam, and I got an SDI converter. I want to actually share with you guys what I bought, because normally what I buy from Blackmagic Design is, let me flip cameras here, is stuff from, it's an HDMI SDI, and then those suckers are like $300. So this time I took a gamble, and I bought one from a company called Avue, A-V-U-E. And this is a HDMI to SDI converter, and I think it was $125. So definitely less than half of what the Blackmagic Design was. But I really can't tell the difference in the video quality for that particular setup. It's a little different angle, and I may mess with the camera stuff, but you guys can see what's going on here in the studio and getting basically a side view of my head. So I may, you know, change the angle a little bit, but anyway, the camera that was there before, I could move around, and that one doesn't, and that just leaves me with the one camera here that I can actually move and adjust when we need to do so on the show. But anyway, that's enough with that. Let's go ahead and get into the full stack of tech tonight. And I'm going to start right off. We're going to talk about Microsoft. It's all over the news today with them announcing 18,000 job cuts this year. 12,000 of those basically coming straight out of the Nokia acquisition. So it's just big. Really, really huge. 12,000 of these cuts are almost 13,000 of these cuts are going to happen almost immediately, and then another 6,000 spread out over the next year. Now, that was for the people that directly work at Microsoft and Nokia. It doesn't include the numbers of folks that are what they call this shadow workforce. You know, Microsoft has these folks that are essentially the company that wear an orange badge, and the orange badge are people that are contractors, and they're managed by third-party companies and so forth. So they're saying, and Microsoft has never released how many of these third-party contractors they have working for them, but these contingent jobs will be cut across the company, and but 20% of their contingent staff, or these orange badges, are going to be cut over the year. But it's 20% year over year, so that means they're looking at doing multi-year cuts. So it doesn't bode well for anyone that's not a direct employee. Now, the total job cut force reduction is about 15% for Microsoft. Needs to say, going to be a lot of folks looking for work here soon in the Seattle area. Now, you know, like any layoff that comes with any corporate America, corporations, you know, small companies, usually, you know, you can do one-on-one type thing. But when they do these big, bold layoffs like this, you know, you're basically sitting at your desk and they come get you and they bring you into an office and they tell you you're done. And if you're eligible for a severance package, you're told what your severance package is going to be, and they escort you to your desk, and you clear out your desk, and they take your key card, and out the premises you go. And these layoffs are not usually very, very pretty. And, you know, the email that was sent out was definitely probably reviewed by the legal team and, you know, try to limit liability and so forth. I don't know what Washington State's rules are for companies, if they have to be given 60 days notice or how it works. But, you know, they're definitely in a huge realignment here. And, you know, in his email, he says, my promise to you is that we'll go through this process in the most thoughtful and transparent way possible. Well, that just means that we're just going to fire you. And you may not know if you're one of them or not. And it's you could have up to 6 months of sitting on the edge of your seat. And so it's just never something simple to let people go in any company. But we'll see how the process works, because I'm sure we're going to hear a lot about it online. Now, at the same time, you know, Rob and I have a lot to discuss on Saturday on the new media show, because, you know, he was at Microsoft before. He was a orange badge worker. He wasn't a blue badge worker there. But of course, Rob is down now at Podcast One in Hollywood. And so we're going to talk about Xbox, because the Xbox Studios, which hired, they had like 200 or 300 people down in the LA area, they were in charge of doing original content. If you've been around this show any time, you'll know that the golden goose that lays its egg is try to get your content onto the Xbox system. And it's been very, very difficult. So Microsoft at this point has basically said, Xbox Studios are done. It's gone. We're going to eliminate that. So that doesn't bode well for original programming from Xbox. Now, the question will be, are they going to regroup? And they going to open up the Xbox platform a little bit to allow more independent content to come in? That will be the question here, because they have to be able to compete with a Roku, with now Android TV, with Android Fire TV. If they don't, you know, they're going to be in trouble here. And what do all those boxes offer? They offer independent channels. That's why you can watch this show, the Tech Podcast Channel, the Roku, and on a Boxy, and Samsung Smart TV, and Chromecast, and so forth. But if it's if I'm going to be kept out of the Xbox and they're not going to open up to more channels, you know, the Xbox's future, TV future, will be very uncertain. And with Apple soon coming with, you know, with a update, it could prove to be pretty interesting. And time will tell what happens with that. But doesn't bode well at all for, you know, the future of new media on the Xbox, at least at this point. So we'll see where this goes with Microsoft, and we'll watch over time and this realignment. They got to shift because they're getting their lunch ate by, you know, both Apple and Google at this point. And of course, the big Apple announcement with their partnership with IBM earlier in the week was pretty big as well. You know, one thing that we're seeing is business owners are starting now to use technology to try to figure out, you know, what's going on for sales and peak time of store traffic and so forth. But in a restaurant business, oftentimes what will happen is their dependency is largely put upon social media. Not, you know, if you go in there and you have a bad meal, what do? You tweet you've had a bad meal, or you give them a bad review on Yelp. And this is a great story that's over on LifeBuzz talking about how a restaurant watched old footage of customers and uncover a shocking truth. Now, this restaurant in New York City, pretty famous restaurant in New York City, decided to hire a firm to figure out why they kept getting bad reviews. Now, here is a transcript that the restaurant posted on Craigslist after they discovered what it was. Now, what they had done is they had had CCTVs in the, or actually, you know, the cameras that recorded coverage in the store for the restaurant many, many years. And they normally didn't have a lot of old footage, but they went and found some of their old video recorders, and they actually found some tapes from 2004. And here's the difference between 2004 and 2014. And this is very telling and should make us all think a little bit when we go into a restaurant. And it just goes to show you how the world has changed. So in 2004, the customer walked in, they got seated and were given menus. Out of 45 customers, three of them requested to be seated elsewhere. Customers on average spent about 8 minutes before closing the menu to show they were ready to orders. Waiters showed up almost instantly to take the order. Appetizers are fired within 6 minutes. Obviously, the more complex items took longer. Out of 45 customers, two sent items back. The waiters kept an eye out for their tables so they could respond quickly if the customer needs something. After the guest was done, the check delivered, and within 5 minutes they leave. Average time from start to finish was an hour and 5 minutes. Okay, so that was an average. That was in 2004. Now listen to this. In 2014, customer walks in. Customer gets seated and given menus. 45 customers, 18 requested to be seated elsewhere. Before even opening the menu, those folks then took out their phones out. Some are taking photos while others are simply doing something else on their phone. And then they basically said, sorry, we have no clue what they're doing and do not monitor customer Wi-Fi activity. Then 7 out of the 45 customers had waiters come over right away. They showed them something on their phone and spent an average of 5 minutes of the waiter's time. Given this recent footage, we asked the waiters about this, and they explained those customers had problems connecting to the Wi-Fi and demanded the waiters try to help them. Now, finally, the waiters are walking over to the table to see what the customers would like to order. The majority have not even opened the menu and asked the waiter to wait a bit. Then the customers open the menu, place their hands, holding their phones on top of it, and continue doing whatever on the phone. Waiter returns to see if they're ready to order or have questions. The customer asks more time. Finally, they're ready to order. Total average time from when a customer was seated until they placed their order, 21 minutes. Now before, in 2004, 8 minutes. Food starts getting delivered in 6 minutes. Obviously, the more complex items take way longer. 26 out of the 45 customers spend an average of 3 minutes taking photos of the food. Sound familiar? 14 of the 45 customers take pictures of each other with food in front of them or as they're eating. This takes on another 4 minutes as they must review and sometimes retake the photo. And that drives me crazy. I'm like, let me eat, taking pictures of the food. 9 of the 45 customers sent their food back to reheat because they've been playing with the food too long, taking pictures. Obviously, they didn't pause, do whatever they're on their phone. You know, they wouldn't have been cold. 27 out of 45 customers then asked the waiter to take a group photo. 14 of those requested the waiter retake the photos. They were not pleased with the first photo. On average, the entire process between chit-chatting and reviewing the photo take another 5 minutes and obviously caused the waiter not to be able to take care of other tables he or she is serving. Given in most cases the customer is constantly busy on their phones, it took an average of 20 minutes or more from when they were done eating until they requested the check. Furthermore, once the check was delivered, it took 15 minutes longer than 10 years ago for them to pay and leave. 8 out of 45 customers bumped into other customers. In one case, a waiter texting while walking as they were either walking in or out of the restaurant. Average time, start to finish, 1 hour and 55 minutes. Now, when we go to restaurants sometimes, I tell the kids, look at the menus, put your phones down, look at your menus, decide what you want, close the menu. I push them. Because if I don't, the same exact thing happens with my family. They want to look at their phone because they've been walking or whatever, you know, trying to get connected to Wi-Fi. And it's always saying, oh, Dad, they got Wi-Fi here. I could care less. I don't even look for Wi-Fi. I don't trust Wi-Fi in restaurants and businesses. I want to be on my data plan. But the kids are, oh, I got to be on the data. Got to get on Wi-Fi. So 10 years ago, hour 5, in and out. Now an average of hour 55 minutes. Think about that. So they've been getting bad reviews. And it's largely because all of us are being idiots when we go and sit down. Has to make you really think a little bit, doesn't it? So the next time you go into a restaurant, don't say anything with your family. Don't say nothing. Sit down and start the stopwatch and see what happens. See if this follows what I'm talking about. Then the next time you go to a restaurant, employ my tactic of no phones until you look at your menus. Let's get food ordered before we play with our phones. Do that and kind of time the whole process, okay? Our link will be up in the show notes, obviously, so I want you guys to definitely check that out. But totally bizarre. Really crazy. Crazy stuff, for sure. All right, there's a good article by Dan Gilmore over on The Guardian. He says, if the FCC is going to kill net neutrality, it'll have to get through you and me first. And he's talking about the 1 million submissions to the FCC. Now, you guys all crashed the FCC site on Monday and Tuesday. So the FCC has extended the deadline to make comments about net neutrality through tomorrow night. They're supposed to reply to all of us by September. But here's the thing. If you, like me, are one of the 100,000s of Americans who have basically ask the FCC to support an open internet, I want to congratulate you for taking the time to do that. You know, we may have actually made a difference here. Time will tell. And also, I'm going to look at this very closely on who I vote for in the upcoming elections. You know, if we have people that are running for office and they don't understand the importance of net neutrality, we need to get in their face. You know, this is an election year. Okay, it's an election year. If you care about the freedom of information, you should grill the people who are running for office, okay, and ask them about this. Now, like Dan, I'm skeptical that the right policy will prevail because, you know, we've got the president has appointed a telecom insider, you know, who's lobbied for the industry to support the bidding that's going on with these toll roads. You know, the biggest internet companies have been awfully quiet in filing in favor of net neutrality earlier this week by one of them was way too little too late. So if the SEC sells us out, we're going to face an enormous and difficult task of winning back an open internet. For now, you guys keep submitting your comments and getting them in. But we need to support net neutrality in a big way. We need to make sure that the people we're sending to Washington are in favor of it. An upcoming presidential election in a couple of years may be affected by that as well. So the real question is, will the FCC ignore us and listen to the ISPs? And we know that the groups at the agency, the FCC pays attention to, often come strictly from companies with hundreds of billions of dollars or lawyers and trade associations that represent them. Now, it's unusual, again, for a regulatory proceeding that you're seeing the big companies coming out in direct opposition. Yesterday, Verizon filed a 184-page comment with the FCC, written by no fewer than five attorneys. The National Cable and Telecommunications Association filed an 88-page comment. Comcast was 71 pages long. And you can almost absolutely guarantee that the FCC will be reading every word of those comments. Will they be reading each one of ours? Doubtful. But they're going to be reading those very long submissions by these companies. And these companies are spending an arm and a leg on their comments. You and I can't. And so we'll see what happens. Most likely, the FCC is going to have to respond to net neutrality defenses written by groups that have lawyers such as the Internet Association, which include Reddit, Twitter, Yahoo, Amazon, eBay, and many other companies. But we'll see how they reply to us. And so we'll see where this leads. But we got to remember, back in 2002, the Interior Department received 360,000 complaints on a rule that would allow snowmobiles in certain parts of certain national parks. More than four-fifths of the comments wanted snowmobiles banned, but instead, the Interior Department allowed even more snowmobiles to operate than were initially proposed. It was not a vote. So we'll see where this leads. But to be honest with you, based on everything that's going on in Washington, the cronyism and the ineffectiveness and the money, I don't know if we're going to win this one. We'll see for sure. All right, let's go switch gears here quite a little bit. Let's talk about the RIAA. The RIAA has pressured and silenced a historical radio archive, Real Radio, a site that streams an archive of often decades-old historical radio shows, has been forced to take down much of its library after the RIAA complained that the site was operating outside the terms of its license. The letter of the law is tight, and the RIAA is insisting the near 20-year-old site now meets all of its requirements. This site started in 1996, and the site looks and feels like a site that was designed in 1996. And what happened was there's a lot of air checks on these sites. Air check recordings appear to be pretty popular among nostalgia hunters who can pick up a memorable year from their life or another historical moment, become transported back in time. Now, this is a million miles away from the RIAA and their ability to protect the copyright on artists. But here's the issue. Air checks are broadly split into two categories: unscoped, and those unscoped air checks contain only the DJ or announcer's voice, but also the music played in between. So air checks recorded for the troops fighting in Vietnam, for example, contain music being played during that era. Scooped air checks have the announcer's voice intact, but the music removed, leaving edited recordings that fail to flow. So what they've done is they've forced them to remove any of these air checks that had any music whatsoever. It's insanity. An air check from 1962 is no longer allowed to be on this website if it had some music in it. Insanity is afoot. This group is out of control more than ever. Now, not only that, there's, according to the Mail or dailymail.co.uk, there's some new technology out there that could spoil illegal downloading. They're coming up with a new watermark system that record details of every person who pirates a music or TV file to give to police. This new technology would wipe out video and music piracy, quote-unquote, researchers say. Australia's Deakin University created the breakthrough watermarks. Unlike previous watermarks, they do not compromise audio quality. The technology identifies the source of leaked content to give to the police. It basically tells them your name, your address, your bank account information. I'm not kidding. This is what this thing is going to include. How they're going to do that, I fully don't understand. But they're going to be able to implement this via the hardware and be able to basically imprint with your data. So they say it won't be tampered with. You won't be able to remove it. Famous last words on that. But, they're so, they've just gone crazy. They really have. And what they'll try to do, someone will find a workaround with it for sure. All right, switching gears. The Apollo 11 flight log from July of 1969 is pretty cool. It's available. You guys can read the flight log of Apollo 11. Of course, Apollo 11, who had a flawless launch, made the historic journey to the moon and to land on the Sea of Tranquility. And of course, the crew was commanded by Neil Armstrong. And if you want to read the entire flight log, it's a pretty cool read. And talks about their course correction and also re-entry and a whole bunch of stuff. So this is pretty cool stuff. And then I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check that out. All right. This is kind of a totally off the chart, who cares type of thing. But fellas and ladies, there's over at Lifehacker, they've got this chart that tells you just how much underwear you should pack when you go on travel. Now, here's my rule. If I'm going to be traveling for 7 days, I take 10 pairs of underwear. If I'm going to be traveling for 14 days, I take 17 to 18 pairs of underwear. I try not to have to have too much laundry when I'm on the road when it comes to undergarments. But depending, if you know, and I go a little over on my weight because I'm allowed 70 pounds. But if you're going to be away, according to this chart, if you're going to be going away for 7 days, they say you should pack 7 pairs of underwear. Now, that makes sense, right? But if you want to only do laundry once, you have to pack between 5 and 6 because they say that you can double up on one day. I'm like, no, no way, no how. I'm not doubling up ever. But they do have this chart, and they talk about, this longer trips, like 14 days away, it gives you the full details here of how many washes you're going to have to do and everything. It just basically talks about how many days you have to wear double. Doesn't that just like make you want to throw up? Think about that. I do not recommend that. the ladies might get away with that, be able to use the sink or the bathtub. Usually the fellas can't to wash things. But no, I definitely don't like recycling. It's not good. All right, the Senate bill on cell phone unlocking has apparently missed a huge opportunity, of course, according to the folks over at Vox.com. Now, the Senate unanimously approved legislation allow people to unlock their cell phones in order to take them to a different wireless carrier. The legislation still must be approved by the House of Representatives. We'll see if they can get anything done. But the legislation became necessary after the Library of Congress raised the possibility of taking your cell phone to a new wireless carrier could violate copyright law. But they really didn't do anything in this legislation beyond exactly giving exemption for a cell phone. I don't think they even gave extensions for like an iPad. But, you know, the Library of Congress has been very flimsy or whimsical on their decisions on how to implement some DMCA rules. So really what they did is there was nothing here that this bill did to give any relief to the standard DMCA. And, that's something that is a monkey we're not going to get off our back for a long, long, long time, in my opinion. And they did cover some jailbreaking stuff in this legislation as well. But so we'll see. You know, they could have rethought the DMCA here, but, you know, Congress is blowing that opportunity. It did blow it. And you know, I don't think we're going to get any movement on that anytime soon. At the same time, there's an article over at thehill.com. You guys know about these rural or city internet services, right? You know, there's been a huge battle over the past number of years in Tennessee. There's been a lot of battles that municipalities have fought against internet service providers and trying to bring their own internet into the cities. So the House on Wednesday approved a proposal to prohibit funding of the FCC to implement regulations preempting state laws on internet access. Now, Representative Marsha Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee, offered an amendment in the fiscal 2015 financial services appropriation bill that would, this is a rider, that would keep regulators from modifying state laws in an effort to increase local options for internet access. It was approved 223-200. Blackburn said her amendment would limit federal overreach. She says, we don't need unelected federal agency bureaucrats in Washington telling our states what they can and can't do to do with respect to protecting their limited taxpayer dollars in private enterprises. Inserting the FCC into our state's economic and fiscal affairs sets a dangerous precedent and violates state sovereignty in a manner that warrants deeper examination. Now, Representative Jose Serrano, Democrat of New York, the top Democrat in the House Appropriations Financial Service, said the amendment would have the opposite effect. Whatever happened to localism or local control, this amendment means the federal government will tell every local citizen, mayor, and county council member that they may not act in their own best interests. Any such amendment is an attack on the rights of individual citizens speaking through their local leaders to determine if their broadband needs are being met. So really what this, you know, to me, I'm like, okay, what is she trying to do here? Is she trying to restrict municipality broadband? But in a letter, lawmakers question Wheeler's ploy to override state laws restricting municipal broadband and asked about the potential need for federal funding to bail out any community broadband paid projects that fall. So if I'm reading this correctly, and again, the language is a little weird. I think what she did is opening the door to allow for municipal broadband. Although, you know, the way this stuff is always written, you know, you read it one way and think, does that mean she's trying to stop it or is she trying to allow it? So I'll have the link up in the show notes. You guys send me your comments, what you think. Because, you know, you never can know 100% the impact that this change is gonna make. You know, there's always an agenda, and hopefully the agenda is that it allows municipal broadband projects. I think those are good. Hopefully this does allow more of that, at least in Tennessee and in other parts of the country. Google has a good article talking about why it's taking its sweet time bringing Google Fiber to your city. on Google's earnings call, conference call today, Google executives were asked why they haven't announced more Google Fiber expansions to more markets. Response, Google CFO Patrick Pache said the company wants to work on generating more demand for the service nationwide before rolling it out more aggressively. We want it. Come on, Google. Google seems determined not to overbuild fiber beyond where it makes sense. It wants to make sure that communities really want to have it before picking new places to operate. And judging from all the major cities, they're basically foaming at the mouth at the prospect of having Google Fiber set up shop in their areas. Google has been doing a pretty decent job of generating demand so far. So we all know that Google is thinking about Atlanta, Charlotte, Nashville, Phoenix, Portland, Raleigh-Durham, San Antonio, Salt Lake City, and San Jose. Of course, we all know that those metropolitan areas met the deadline to submit paperwork to Google. So we'll see, but boy, I wish they would come to Hawaii, please, 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 please. Also, a big patent troll was slapped down hard by an appeals court. The most litigious patent troll in the U.S. has lost a major case after the U.S. Court of Appeals for Federal Circuit found its patent to be too abstract. So, Alice versus CLS Bank case, basically this is a company that bought a Polaroid patent. And they were suing everybody and their brother. And so this is pretty cool. They were basically shut down. I won't go into the details because it was a pretty complicated patent. But this company had filed patent infringement against Xerox, Toshiba, Fujifilm, Leica Camera, Overstock.com, Newegg. And, of course, Newegg has been fighting these folks back. Newegg said, Newegg's chief legal officer, Lee Chang, struck his characteristic combative tone, suggesting that the associate investors should look forward to more patent invalidations to come. And of course, the other companies are very happy, too. So it's nice to see another troll taken down. And, of course, it costs these companies a lot of money to fight these folks. How many of you do any trading on companies with a NASDAQ listing? Do any stock? Do you do any stuff at all that where you're trading stock, or do you own mutual funds and someone else does trading on NASDAQ for you? Well, Russian malware was infiltrated the NASDAQ servers, says Businessweek. A Bloomberg Business Report has revealed that both the CIA, NSA, and other agencies spent months investigating a major malware attack on the NASDAQ. And it wasn't to steal information. Apparently, it was to basically shut their network down. And pretty nasty stuff. But apparently this happened a few years ago in 2010. It was never really announced publicly. But NASDAQ says, hey, the malware did not reach the stock exchange. It only got into our exterior system. And it was since this article has been sensationalized by Businessweek. So we'll see. But definitely something got in. You would think if anybody has a secure server system, it would be NASDAQ. You've been using Chrome on your laptop? Well, apparently Chrome's been eating your battery for years, but Google promises to finally fix it. This has been known that there's a memory bug since 2010, and basically releasing resources and basically keeping the processor running faster than it should. But Google has finally got the attention as it's made some headlines around recently, and they basically have kicked it to a priority one, so expect a fix in the near future. It's being reported the iPhone 6 camera may jump to 13 megapixels. They have no choice. They have to push the megapixel up to much higher. You know, the 5S, 5C, 4S only offer 8, and you know, my wife's taking pictures with her Samsung Galaxy S5, and the pictures are beautiful, and I think it's a 13 or 14 a megapixel camera. And also, I've been playing Ingress on my small iPhone, and I can really just tell that I just need a bigger screen. And if iPhone doesn't come out with one, I'm going to definitely make a switch to Android. All right, Japan has been famous for their new cruise. They're introducing what's called a cruise train. It's a luxury hotel on rails. And this thing, I wish I could show you this. This is driving me crazy that I can't show you guys on video anything tonight. I have no idea why this is not working. Let me try something here. But anyway, if you look at this thing, it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's just simply incredible. And you go through and it looks like a hotel. It doesn't at all look like something that you would expect to be in a train car. And a fantastic accommodations, beautiful. It's just, I mean, this, when you see the images of this thing, you're going to be a little bit amazed. I don't know what tickets on this thing is going to cost, but definitely absolutely fantastic in what they've come up with and are going to put on the rails. All right. Link will be up in the show notes for you to check it out as well. Android Wear doesn't support watch face apps yet. Apparently, there's going to be an API app coming later this year, so they're promising that they're going to be able to do that. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. And you know, basically, what they want to be able to do is people want to change out what's digitally shown on the front of their watches. If you've been following what's going on with Mars, NASA has released the U.S. Geological Survey. Apparently isn't limited just mapping the U.S. or even the Earth, and the agency has ventured off planet to build a new geological map of Mars. And so this is pretty cool. So if you want to dig in and look at the geography and look at the layout of Mars, obviously minus any oceans, you'll get a pretty good look. And actually, you can, if you're looking at this, you can see based upon terrain where Mars probably at one time had water. You just look at it and say, yeah, that looks like there could be water there or would have been water there. But anyway, definitely check it out. I have the link up for you in the show notes. Hey, you know, if you have family, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world today. And medically, everything from Alzheimer's to ADHD, they're trying to detect early. But apparently doctors now can diagnose from your voice alone what type of disease you may have or what type of drug you may be on. So they've come up with a way to determine if you've taken meth or MDMA. I don't even know what that is. All you need is a computer and a recording of your voice to be able to unlock what you're on. And in a study published earlier this year, they used recordings of short interviews to determine which drug his test subjects had been given prior to the experiment. His results rely largely on language and its meaning. And what they did was basically looked over time at, you know, interview after interview for trends and came up with some pretty cool stuff to be able to determine what people are on, or even tell if they're sleepy, of kids that may have ADHD, and, you know, on and on and on. But pretty scary that someone could take my voice and say, yeah, Todd, at what number, where are we at right now at the, I don't even see it. Let me look at the different screen. At the 54-minute mark in the show was feeling sleepy. So anyway, pretty cool stuff for sure. So definitely have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. All right. Over on Extreme Tech, U.S. scientists push ahead with memory-boosting brain implants. Well, apparently they've been able to figure out how to do it. And basically, they've got the electronics. They just need to figure out where to hook them up. But this is pretty crazy stuff. At Lawrence Livermore National Labs, they are looking at actually being able to implant a biometric device for folks that may have had traumatic brain disorders and so forth, or people that have been hit with IED. They're saying the end application is veteran and traumatic brain injury patients, actually being able to implant a sensor and hook it up in a variety of different places to get an in and out function. I'm telling you, folks, it ain't going to be long and we're going to be able to just, hook something to our ear and then it's going to upload stuff into our long-term memory. It's it's not too far away based on some of the cool science they're doing. Hey, NASA is also saying it could confirm alien life within the next 20 years. So that's kind of an interesting prediction by the folks at NASA. Bolden said, Charles Bolden, a former astronaut NASA administrator, said, do we believe there's life beyond Earth? I would venture to say that most of my colleagues here today say it's improbable that in the limitless vastness of the universe, we humans stand alone. One of the other folks that was there by, what last name was Han? What is his first name? Said that I think in the next 20 years, we'll find out we're not alone in the universe. Well, I think we already know we're not alone in the universe. Based on the two things I've seen in my lifetime, which we've talked about on this show, that whatever I saw the first time definitely wasn't from, definitely wasn't man-made. And it gives me chicken skin just thinking about it, even sitting right here today. All right, comet chasing space probe has made a surprise discovery. A space probe aiming to become the first to land on a comet has taken images that appear to show its target could actually be two separate lumps of rock and ice. The pictures released by the European Space Agency were taken by its Rosetta probe, which is nearing it, the final stage of its decade-long mission to drop a lander on comet 67P. And basically, they say this thing looks like a duck. It's in the shape of a duck. So Rosetta is scheduled to come within 100 kilometers of the comet on August 6th. It will observe the comet for several months before attempting to drop a lander onto its icy surface in November. 67P is about 4 kilometers long and orbits the sun every 6.5 years. Pretty cool stuff. The FDA is admitting that they've discovered 6 undocumented vials of smallpox in a facility in Maryland. They've also found 327 additional vials that contain dengue, influenza, and rickettsia. So apparently the FDA doesn't know where all these viruses of this nasty stuff that could get all of us sick are. They say the reason why these samples went unnoticed for this long is something we're trying actively to understand. So who knows how many of these biological agents are out there sitting in labs in some drawer somewhere. Pretty scary stuff. And a pretty cool story on the U.S. Department of Energy over on Extreme Tech. The U.S. Department of Energy has begun building the largest carbon capture system ever. And I kind of looking at this thing and, you know, depending on what side of the fence you're on, if you believe in global warming or not, you know, this carbon thing, carbon credits and all this craziness that's going on, people worrying about carbon. This is a pretty good story about how they're going to capture carbon from a coal plant. And where's this coal plant actually going to be? It's happening at a coal-fired plant near Houston. And with the help of NRG Energy and JX Nippon, the Department of Energy hopes to build a carbon capture system that gets 90% of carbon dioxide output of the coal back into the ground where it can't affect the climate. So it talks about the process and how they're going to do that and how they going to extract and then reinsert and how it actually will be used to push oil out. The actual carbon being reinserted will be used to push oil out in naturally sealed formations about 80 miles away from this coal plant. So pretty cool stuff. I'll have the link up in the show notes. Also, there's some talk about, did Verizon accidentally admit it's slowing down Netflix traffic? Well, the folks at Level 3 think so, and they provided a chart, and I wish I could show you guys this. But essentially, Level 3 said that, hey, Level 3's network is at 40, 60, 56% of utilization. Verizon's internal network is at 46 to 56% being utilized. But what's going on is that Level 3's border router and Verizon's border router, they've only connected 4 10 gigabit connections. And they said, hey, we've been telling Verizon for a long time that they need to add some more 10 gig connections between our border routers. He says, we don't know if it's the cost of the cable or the module, which is about $1,000 or whatever. He says, heck, we'll buy the module and we'll buy the cable and we'll even hook it up for them to fix their issue. But what's going on is that the gap between Level 3's border router and Verizon's border router, this is where the 100% of utilization is happening. So essentially, if people on Fios, you're getting screwed, especially if you're in an LA area. Level 3 folks says this problem could be solved in 5 minutes and for a very small cost. But that Verizon is refusing to make these upgrades because it wants to extract a fee is interesting. In essence, Verizon's story matches pretty well with one being pushed by Netflix, but Level 3 adds the missing piece and putting some ground truth in here. He said, we could fix this congestion in about 5 minutes simply by connecting up more 10 gigabit per second ports on those routers. It's something we've been asking Verizon to do for many, many months, and something other providers regularly do in similar circumstances, but Verizon refuse. Maybe they can't afford a new port card because they've run out. Even though these cards are very cheap, just a few $1,000s each for each 10 gigabit card, which could support up to 5,000 streams or more. If that's the case, we'll buy one for them. Maybe they can't afford the small piece of cable. So kind of funny here. And what's going to happen is Verizon's not going to put any more ports in until Netflix pays up. That's the dirty truth of what's going on here. And there's plenty of bandwidth out there. It's just, if you're a customer, the ISPs want their cake and eat it, want their cake and eat it too. They want to invoke a toll. This is why net neutrality is so important, folks. I'm telling you, when you guys see, you got to look at this. Please take 3 minutes, go in the show notes and look for the Level 3 Verizon article. And please look at this and you're going to understand why this net neutrality thing is such a scam and why these ISPs are crying wolf. We pay them to give us access to the internet. They have to provide that and they need to maintain their data links and give us more speed if we need it. They don't have to be over there invoking a toll and being a toll troll. All right, got to speed up here. We're going to go way too long. Supreme Court has told Conan Doyle Estate to take a hike. Consider Sherlock Holmes in the public domain. Supreme Court Judge Justice Elena Kagan, who received a request for a stay from the state, has already rejected it with no comment or explanation. She did so without consulting her fellow justices or without asking or waiting for filing from the firm. She has every right to make this decision, but certainly suggests the Supreme Court. Well, at least Kagan finds the appeals court ruling to be quite persuasive and is not at all convinced the state has a legitimate argument. So this is fantastic. It's finally, we're starting to get some of these literary works that should have been in the public domain a long time ago in the public domain. Also, if you have an iPhone 5 or 5S, you should look at the Mophie Space Pack. It's a way to get some extra battery and 16 gigs of extra storage for $149.95. Pretty cool little device. Get you some extra storage for your iPhone. First, this is, as far as I know, the first battery charger and external memory for the iPhone. Pretty cool stuff there. All right, a new map fingers future hotspots for U.S. earthquakes. The U.S. Geological Survey, USGS, National Hazard Maps, has been updated and provides a powerful punch for insurance companies and city planners. And so this has been updated and releasing their earthquake hazard assessments for the entire United States. Although the picture hasn't changed much on a national scale since the last report in 2008, the devil is in the details, the report author says, in some areas of the country now considered to be at a higher risk for powerful quakes than once thought. And this could affect your home insurance rate. Over on Engadget, there's a great write-up on why Tesla Motors can't sell cars in most of the United States. And what it really boils down to is dealerships. Automobile dealers do not want Tesla to be able to sell directly to the public, because if they can, then what happens is Ford, Chevy, and everyone else will be able to sell directly to the consumers as well. There's many states have laws in place that restrict sales of vehicles that can only be bought through dealerships. Kind of an interesting move, right? So basically, the entire automotive industry, basically the dealerships in America, do not want Tesla to sell. They want them to set up dealerships like Ford, Chevy, Honda, and everyone else has. But Tesla doesn't want to play by those rules. They want to cut out the middleman and sell direct. Makes a lot of sense now, doesn't it? Again, it's the devil in the details about why some companies can do some things and some can't. It's, again, legislation that has been put in place to protect old business models that, in quite honesty, need to go away. That are destroying the United States, destroying commerce, you know. I hate the middleman. I like cutting the middleman out anytime I can. All right, the U.S. government thinks Aero is and isn't a cable company. Of course, we all know that the U.S. Supreme Court decided Aero service was a violation of copyright law, labeling it a cable system. Then Aero basically sought to carry on this with the same statutory license cable companies used to pay broadcasters royalties to stream content from local stations. A district court today basically said that this maneuver was ground to a halt through a U.S. Copyright Office, basically clamping down on the attempt to concluding that the internet transmissions fall outside the scope of the license in its letter to Aero. Now, here's the thing. They allowed Dish to transmit stuff via the internet, but they're not going to let Aero do it via the internet. This is man, this really stinks. So we'll see where this leads. There could be some more court hearings here, obviously, based upon what we're seeing in some of these decisions. All right, I talked about that. Anybody know about these beautiful blue toolboxes from Japan? I've been to Japan and I've never seen one of these beautiful blue toolboxes before. If you know about them, I was asking my wife about it and she looked at it and she said, I don't know what that is. But apparently someone's gone gaga over some toolboxes made in Japan. I'll have a link up in the show notes for you on that. Of course, Google's quarter two revenue of $15.96 billion beats, but its non-GAAP EPS of $6.08 disappoints. But still, they had a pretty good quarter and good to see. Net revenue of $12.2 billion with earnings per share of 6.27, down more than 1.5% regular trading. Google is up a fraction following its... What? They say down more than 1.5% in regular trading, but Google is up a fraction? Oh, this is just weird. That guy, if it's up, it's up. It's down, it's down. It can't be up and down at the same time. AMD slightly missed a second quarter earnings target as PC market chugs along. Of course, AMD is number two provider processors for PCs. Of course, I have stock in Intel. Revenue for the quarter was $1.44 billion compared to $1.16 billion a year ago. Net loss was 5 cents a share compared to 10 cents a share on a non-GAAP basis. However, AMD made 2 cents a share in profit compared to a loss last year of 9 cents. Analysts expected earnings per share of 3 cents on revenues of $1.46 billion. So, still down a little bit. An article by Snowden is basically saying Dropbox is hostile to privacy. And I'll have the link up. You guys can read the article on your own. And, of course, just talking a little bit about the IBM-Apple relationship. Apple's chief executive, Tim Cook, says he does 80% of his work running the world's most valuable company on an iPad. And he says that every company should be like that. I can't believe that he's used his iPad that much, but I guess he does. But they've teamed up with IBM to try to bridge that gap so that everyone can run on tablets instead of computers. Also, another thing Snowden said during an interview to The Guardian, he said that NSA analysts, which are young enlisted guys, 18 to 22-year-olds, basically have access to a lot of data, and sometimes they come across naked pictures of us. And they share them with their friends. I guess that shouldn't come as a surprise if anyone's doing some sort of job where they have access to data and see some images. They're young like that, they probably would do that. But a good article over on the Register. Also, after 17 years, Bill Campbell steps down from Apple board. The one-time Apple executive who will be replaced by BlackRock co-founder Sue Wagner is reflecting in Fortune magazine about his associations with the company and its co-founder Steve Jobs. So this guy's right place, right time. And of course, he's Bill Campbell, still the chairman and chairman and former chief executive officer of Intuit. And he's again stepping down from Apple after being on the board for 17 years. Also, if you have a Cisco home wireless router, some of them are open to hacking, and you'll definitely want to go through this list and make sure yours is not on it. And again, there's a pretty big long list. So get your model number, look this up in this article, and make sure that your router is not susceptible to hacking. And let me see what I've got in email tonight. Let's see here. Our last show was on the 14th. So anything after that? I got an email from Curtis. He said, "Hey, Todd, welcome back to the mic. The guest host did a great job. I normally skip the guest hosted shows in order to catch up with other podcasts, but I'm glad I listened this time. Thanks so much, Curtis." And he did that on the Google Plus page for the Geek News Central Insiders. Got an email from Mike. He says, "Hey, Todd, I was always curious when you would mention Ingress on the show. So when I saw it came out yesterday for iOS, I jumped all over it. And welcome to the resistance speculator level 2. Let's get you to level 8. So very good. Have fun. Play. Get out and walk. Have a good time with it." Got an email here from Soria. She says, "Hey, nearly 5,000 votes were collected on what people think about the most evil internet companies. And this company called Ranker listed the companies with the worst customer service. Number 1, Time Warner. Number 2, AT&T. Number 3, Bank of America. Number 4, Walmart. Number 5, American Airlines. Number 6, Comcast. 7, Citibank. 8, Best Buy. 9, Gold's Gym. And 10, Ticketmaster. I'll move Ticketmaster to the number 1. And the most evil internet companies was Facebook, Comcast, Apple, Time Warner. Oh, why did they put GoDaddy as number 5? That's bull. AOL, Electronic Arts, Microsoft Corporation, Google, and Twitter. Hey, you know, GoDaddy has changed their whole rep. It's not so much jiggle anymore. Come on, give them a break." And I got an email from Andrea. She says, "Hey, Todd, one way the Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella is changing their culture is by using open source internally. He's making all teams at Microsoft share their software code. Nadella also wants more employees to contribute to open source." So this is pretty cool. She goes on to say, Caxi Interactive, a web and application development firm, successfully uses open source and is one of the reasons they've grown as big as they are. I'm not familiar with Caxi Interactive. I guess I'll have to check them out. She basically asked me, "Do you think this is good that Microsoft is going to be using more open source?" I think it's going to be good for them. I really, really do. All right, folks, going to wrap it up here. Thanks for being patient with me on the show tonight. And sorry that you only got to see my mug during the whole show and didn't get to see some graphics on the screen for those of you that were watching. But sometimes the technical difficulties do me in. But everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Everyone take care. Aloha.